I didn't speak to Hassan until the middle of the next week. I had just half eaten my lunch and Hassan was doing the dishes. I was walking upstairs, going to my room, when Hassan asked if I wanted to hike up the hill. I said I was tired. Hassan looked tired too. He'd lost weight and gray circles had formed under his puffed up eyes. But when he asked again, I reluctantly agreed. We trekked up the hill, our boots squishing in the muddy snow. Neither one of us said anything. We sat under a pomegranate tree, and I knew I'd made a mistake. I shouldn't have come up the hill. The words I had carved on the tree trunk with Ali's kitchen knife, Amir and Hassan, the sultans of Kabul, I couldn't stand looking at them now. He asked me to read to him from the Shahnameh, and I told him I'd changed my mind. I told him I just wanted to go back to my room. He looked away and shrugged. We walked back down the way we'd gone up, in silence. And for the first time in my life, I couldn't wait for spring. My memory of the rest of that winter of 1975 is pretty hazy. I remember I was fairly happy when Baba was home. We'd eat together, go see a film, visit Kaka Humayun or Kaka Farooq. Sometimes Rahim Khan came over, and Baba let me sit in his study and sip tea with them. He'd even had me read some of my stories. It was good, and I even believed it would last. And Baba believed it too, I think. We both should have known better. For at least a few months after the kite tournament, Baba and I immersed ourselves in a sweet illusion and saw each other in a way that we never had before and never would again. We'd actually deceived ourselves into thinking that a toy made of tissue paper, glue, and bamboo could somehow close the chasm between us. But when Baba was out, and he was out a lot, I closed myself in my room. I read a book every couple of days, wrote stories, learned to draw horses. I'd hear Hassan shuffling around the kitchen in the morning, hear the clinking of silverware and the whistle of the teapot. I'd wait to hear the door shut, and only then I would walk down to eat. On my calendar, I circled the date of the first day of school and began a countdown. To my dismay, Hassan kept trying to rekindle things between us. I remember the last time. I was in my room, reading an abbreviated Farsi translation of Ivanhoe, when he knocked on my door. "What is it?" "I'm going to the baker to buy naan," he said from the other side. "I was wondering if you wanted to come along." "I think I'm just going to read," I said, rubbing my temples. Lately, every time Hassan was around, I was getting a headache. "It's a sunny day," he said. "Yeah, I can see that." "Might be fun to go for a walk," he said. "You go. I wish you'd come along." He paused. Something thumped against the door, maybe his forehead. "I don't know what I've done, Amir Agha. I wish you'd tell me. I don't know why we don't play anymore." "You haven't done anything, Hassan. Just go." "You can tell me. I'll stop doing it," he said. I buried my head in my lap and squeezed my temples with my knees like a vice. "I'll tell you what I want you to stop doing," I said, eyes pressed shut. "Anything." "I want you to stop harassing me," I said. "I want you to go away." I wished he would give it right back to me, break the door open and tell me off. It would have made things easier, better. But he didn't do anything like that, and when I opened the door minutes later, he wasn't there. I fell on my bed, buried my head under the pillow, and cried.